This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Young, the 10th to bat. He swings here, and that one is lifted to left, and it drops for a base hit. Heim scores from third. Garcia stops at second. Josh Young down the line with a lofted shot that gives the Rangers a 6-1 lead.
You never experiment when you compete, and not at the major league level.
That's the way baseball goes.
A 6-run third inning for the Texas Rangers gives them an 8-1 victory over Seattle as they avoid the sweep at the ballpark. It is Diamond Cavs on 105. They have one extra base hit in this game, Bobby Belt. It was a triple by Josh Smith.
That's one extra base more than they've gotten in several games.
Man, is it ever.
Four hits for Josh. They scored six runs on six singles and two walks in that third inning for Jacob DeGrom, who gets win number two. How are we grading DeGrom's season so far?
By DeGrom standards or league average pitcher standards? League average pitcher, he's an A or a B, A-, something like that. By DeGrom standards, like a B.
Yeah, last two outings have been pretty solid. Last two outings, but like again, like Bobby said,
guess is ERA choppy.
2.47,
2.61.
All right, I mean that's pretty dang good.
Damn right, it's
that's
good.
Pretty dang
that's
good, man.
It's a 2.61.
Yes, and that's why by normal standards it's great. It's not even the ERA that's the issue. It's that yesterday he goes five innings, he strikes out three, he walks two. That's not a DeGrom start typically. He had a four walk, four strikeout start the other game that he started against Seattle about a month ago. He's had it like giving up the home run ball a couple times. He's been really, really good. I'm not saying that he's not. Yeah. It's by his standards, it's a little below what you expect from DeGrom.
Since they scored 15 runs last week, they have two extra base hits, both by Josh Smith. One of them was a home run in the ninth inning of a 13-0 game. And then the other one was yesterday. Coming into yesterday's game, They were two for the last 21 with runners in scoring position.
Second fewest runs scored in baseball, despite having the fourth best ERA in the AL.
And there you go. That's the only thing that's keeping them afloat is their ERA. They didn't even have an at-bat with a runner in scoring position on Friday. You know, Smith's home run was obviously a home run. It wasn't a runner with scoring position. So they've really, really struggled offensively. Now, they did make some moves. Donnie Eckler fired as the offensive coordinator / hitting coach. I still can't get over the fact that they use the term offensive coordinator in baseball. This is a what kind of move, though? It's probably a messaging move, a window. It's not going to do much.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times the Astros are really good at this. And, of course, they're really good at giving information about, you know, stealing signs, too. But one of the things they did well under the Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, and AJ's taking this to Detroit, is they really do. AJ's really done a good job of giving the message of what the analytic department wants. And sometimes you're either really good at that or you are really bad at it, and it's an overload of information. And maybe that's what happened with Donnie, but they are moving on. They are moving on from him. That said,
and the thing I had heard about him or just these hitting coaches in general is maybe sometimes there's an overload of information. Mm-hmm. So the message may be, hey, think less, react more, versus trying to compute everything into the system.
Yeah, Leody, DFA'd.
See ya.
That's $4.75 million on his contract. I think the prorated portion will be like $3.8 million. Somebody might pick it up. I don't know that they will. I'd maybe be a little surprised if somebody did pick it up. But so there's a chance that he could come back here before all said and done. And we'll see what happens.
Someone passed along some information on him in the sport. His under-the-hood offensive numbers are even worse. His only value is defensively, and that has slipped this season. And then, you know, there was some talk about you bring up some of the young kids and all that stuff. But, yeah, if he clears waivers, the Rangers will still control him. But mm-hmm. not a glowing review, as you would expect on Leody Taveras.
Yeah, not a glowing review. The great Mike Bassick texted in the program
Mikey.
Here saying that striking out the Mariners is tough. Edgar and Seitzer's got them hitting with good two-strike approach. Teams have realized the way of hitting for the last 10 years doesn't work. It doesn't work in sports.
Positive Ranger comment.
Don't come at me with that company man stuff, Mike. Hey. Come on. I want you to come at me with your old cowboy energy. Listen, come on, man.
I said it the other day. He's good.
He's good. Bassett. Mike's good on the broadcast.
I'm making his head explode, but he's already.
I don't think you had to tell him.
I know he's good, man. He's already the best analyst this team's ever had.
Look at that!
He is Grieve. That.
Shots fired.
No, Grieve was great. Grieve was different. Different. It was a down home style, like very
feel good.
Very feel good. Grandpa. This is just hardcore analysis. He's all that, man. I saw David Murphy over the weekend at the youth ballpark.
What a great guy.
Awesome guy.
The baseball Darren Woodson of people I've met around here.
Awesome guy. Yeah. Awesome guy.
Derek Holland has always said David Murphy's like, that is the best human being I've ever known or been teammates with. That is the salt of the earth.
Yeah, he really is. So the Rangers stave off the sweep, and they have a day off today for Cinco de Mayo, and they head to Boston. They're in Boston tomorrow, taking on the Red Sox. It'll be Lucas Giolito and Nate Eovaldi on the hill.
Do they have the day off for Cinco de Mayo? That's not why they have.
It's not why they have it. It's just they get to celebrate it in Boston. Yes,
what a place to celebrate minorities.
Yes, go get some ketchup and chips. That's what they're going to use for salsa in Boston. So, like I said, Rangers did hit a homer over the weekend. But then, also on Saturday, the offensive woes hit again, and Jack Leiter, in his two starts since returning, he has failed to get out of the fifth inning either time. He's thrown a total of 7 2/3, 8 earned runs, a hit per inning. Not great.
Spin that one, Mikey.
He had more strikeouts in his 5-inning start against the Reds than he had in the last two starts combined. But as Mike said, Seattle didn't strike out a ton, so that was this game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Jack Leiter as things move on.
By the way, in their last 10 games, Texas has one extra base hit or fewer in 7 of them. 7 out of 10 games, you have one extra base.
Is it obvious now, Choppy? Like, we know that Chris Young's going to be burning up the phones.
Yes. And Berger
got moved.
Okay, so it's just interesting you brought him up. So the reason that he got sent down isn't necessarily because there were other guys that weren't hitting too. It's not like, hey, we're going to send Jake Berger down because he can't hit. No, Jock Peterson isn't hitting either. Marcus Semien's not hitting either.
Yep.
But those guys don't have options. And same thing with Leody. Leody didn't have options. Jake Berger had, I think he only has 2 years of service time or something like that. So you could send him down. You couldn't send the other guys down. They're out of options to send down in baseball.
The guy they brought up, Blaine Crim, who was 0-for-5 to start out for his career. He's got a couple walks, I think. But we got some Tolos over the weekend telling us that they think that this is a young RJ Choppy, Blaine Crim.
Face looks-wise?
I see it like maybe I could see like if them being cousins or something.
I'm not seeing
it. But I don't think that's an identical ringer or anything.
I don't see it, man. I don't know. I haven't seen myself without a beard in 20 years.
So. I don't know. Now that I look at it, though, that kind of looks like Tindy Hands a little.
It does look like Nephew Nick.
And so there is some family connection there.
Yeah, I could see that. The Pirates fan. This guy.
Okay, so what did he do? They said he had two beers and jumped or slipped.
He jumped out of his seat to cheer.
Yeah.
But he was in the front row, and I guess the railing is lower there where it should be a little bit higher. So he jumps up and he realizes that he's kind of jumping out and up, and he tries to catch himself and he does kind of like a pirouette down.
Dude. This feels like, my God, this video is insane.
It's terrifying.
Every time I look
it's
at
terrifying.
It sounds like the Pirates, they were trying to get themselves out of a lawsuit. They checked every person's like credit card statements around that fan that night. He didn't buy any beers. He consumed apparently two beers, and they were just checking. They needed that to come up as this guy had eight beers. Check his credit card statement.
Yeah.
You know, versus a stadium default or something like that that they could get sued for.
Right.
Maybe they'll offer a freaking Olivia, what's her face? Is it Dunn?
Livvy Dunn.
Yeah, Livvy Dunn. Livvy Dunn suite to make up
there
for
you go.
This, you know, well, son they of Bayou spin
he,
move.
I'm sure he was pre-gaming too.
You what?
I'm sure he was pre-gaming too.
Are you just assuming?
I don't know. I mean, if it was just two and he was...
Who pregames for baseball games on a, you know, like...
I don't know. The McCarthy family bar is very popular. You don't know who's just going in there having some beers before the game.
But yeah, it's... Look, this was a terrible, terrible situation for all parties involved, but particularly this guy. But he is awake. You know, so Jennifer... see, the organizer for the page, his name is Kevin Markwood, or Kaven. He's a 20-year-old. Slipped off a railing in that game, but he's awake, he's alert, so that's good. Now the next step is they've raised $27,000 on the GoFundMe, but obviously the next step is like, you know, is he going to be able to leave the, you know, the hospital on his own? And
I just can't get a great feel for what happened here, like whether he jumped, whether it was a crazy slip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, the common
if he caused it. I mean.
The common
I don't know
line
I'm giving to the GoFundMe
from people on there was somebody who had like a fan who posted on Reddit and said they were sitting right behind him when it happened, and they said that it was him jumping up to celebrate, like Chop said, that it was a jump up celebrate and just he was uncoordinated. They said that he was acting drunk all night, and so that was their thought, was that he was just uncoordinated, jumped up and tipped.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with RJ Choppy on 105.3 The Fan.
I went and looked at I was just doing a look at the stats on who's leading the league in all these different categories. And basically now they don't separate AL NL the way they used to. We're on ESPN, have it both NL and an AL side. It's just all MLB. But Aaron Judge has a 74-point lead in batting average over the next highest. He is second in the sport in home runs, leads in RBIs, has 10 more hits than anybody else in the sport. It really is stupid what he's doing. He's at a 423 batting average, Bobby.
Wow.
The next highest is 349.
And who is that?
The next highest is Paul Goldschmidt.
It's another New York Yankee. So that's what they've got. In fact, if you got to get just in the AL, if you want to find the drop from Aaron Judge to the next highest batting average in the American League, who's not a teammate, it's Stephen Kwan, who is 90 percentage points behind him.
And didn't you say that despite this horrific offense that the Rangers are not like bottom five in all these offensive categories?
No, they're in the bottom 10, but they're not bottom five in average. They're not bottom five in slugging. Their OPS, I think they're fourth because their on-base percentage is lower than a lot of teams. But yeah, the Rockies are the worst hitting team in baseball while hitting at Coors Field.
That's something you never see. Like, that's something you just never see. And Colorado at 6-28. That's right about the pace the White Sox were on last year. So we might get another team lose 120 plus games.
Just contract. When's the last time Colorado was like real good?
They've had, I think, seven straight losing seasons, six or seven.
Yeah, we need to get rid of the Rockies. They're not any good. I mean, that ballpark's awesome. I love Coors.
It's apparently supposed to be like the great opening day.
All right, don't look. Their run differential.
Colorado's?
Yeah.
They're minus 50.
Oh, I think it's high. They're 30 games under 500.
Worse.
Or 20. Minus 105?
Minus 89.
Minus 89.
Minus 89. We're barely into May.
And the Rangers are minus 18. And the Athletics in second place in the West are minus 22. The A's are second place in the American League.
Well, 13
West.
Of that came in one game against us.
Yeah. 7-3 in their last 10.
That would have been that run differential for all of last year would have been the seventh worst in baseball for the Rockies. There were only six teams that had the entire season that had worse than minus 89.
There's Diamond Cavs.
The numbers are down though. The average, like Aaron Judge's, like you said, versus the rest of the league.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, the batting average is dying. I don't even know what a 300 hitter is anymore.
I know yesterday with the way the Rangers scored these runs, people were like, exalting the range. Oh my God, like you remember at small ball. Like, yeah. Singles can matter.
Singles and hit and runs and stolen bases. Mike. Stolen base, we're already ahead of the pace. Last year, you had the most in a century. This year, we're already ahead of that pace. Let's go.
Day off today, back tomorrow on your official home for Rangers baseball. Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again for the long term here on DFW Sports Station. More changes to the morning show. If you love football, this next segment every day is going to be for you. We'll explain next on The Fan.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Yeah, please go!
More changes to the morning show. Bobby Belt with the annual Tolo survey. And we just want you to know what you're getting every single morning. At 9:20, it's going to be football. We love football the most. We're your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Below the belt, 8:40. We break it up at 9. Right now, we're going to call it the red zone. We're 20 minutes after 9, 20 minutes before crosstalk, 20 red zone. If you watch more football than me, you know the relation. So around the NFL, and I'm super hyped up to talk about this NFL executive reaction to the draft. I love stuff like this. This is courtesy of Mike Sando, The Athletic / New York Times. And this is Sean and RJ with our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. They went and had the AFC report last week. Well, over the weekend, we got NFC reaction. The New York Giants, offseason chumps a year ago after Hard Knocks, earned praise for their work in the draft. They were not alone. So trying to think how to skip around here. I guess, obviously, we should start with the Cowboys. And you have league executives saying that we're all overreacting to the wide receiver 2 problem, that we're taking it too far. Here we go. I don't know why everyone wants them to take a receiver so bad when they have one they're paying $34 million a year, one exec said, referring to Lamb. There are always wideouts out there, and you have a guy that demands coverage. Mm-hmm. So, RJ Choppa, you've done wide receiver studies over your years. Are we overreacting to the number 2 wideout problem, especially when you have a $60 million quarterback, or as these people are referencing, a $34 million receiver?
Well, look, I mean, part of the reason you pay a quarterback $60 million is to find the next $30 million receiver, and they create them. Now, that's easier said than done. Now, the thing is that study or that philosophy may be in a vacuum where not every quarterback is just flip-flopping to be the next $60 million guy, where there should be a hierarchy of players, and the $60 million guy is Mahomes and Josh Allen, and then the next tier is 55, and the next tier is 50. That's just not the reality of the NFL. But yeah, I mean, theoretically, if you have a $30 million receiver and a $60 million quarterback, you should be fine at the receiver position.
Yeah, I get the idea. I think it's in general, a sound approach. Like, I get the logic behind what he's saying, what this exec is saying, where they're saying, yeah, look, if you're drawing coverage, that's the biggest challenge, is just making sure you got a guy. You need a guy. You need somebody who's going to draw the attention of the defense and create vulnerabilities that the quarterback can exploit with guys who are just solid. You don't need studs at every position. Obviously, in the area of the salary cap, everybody's got to structure how they build the team. Kansas City, for instance, has largely had a big-time target for Pat Mahomes, Kelce, Tyreek Hill, whatever else, and then guys around it. And guys who, you know, it hasn't really affected to a great extent what it is that Mahomes does on the football field. So I get the thought process. I've just seen it play out way too frequently across the NFL where when you've got a guy and they take away that guy, then you got nothing.
Yeah, I'm not thinking it's an overreaction. It is a glaring need right now, Amari Cooper, and hopefully more. The Panthers' decision to take Tetaroa McMillan at number 8 doomed a slew of mock drafts that had the Cowboys taking him at 12. League reaction to that, quote, Booker is huge, and he can knock people back, but he does run out of gas some, said an executive. We like the corner they took, Revell. He can change the angle of the ball arriving like Seattle used to do with those taller corners. So that's kind of the draft right up there for the Cowboys. Tyler Booker was the focus of my favorite Cowboy right now, interview-wise, DeMarvion Overshown was talking about the energy that Booker brings and the Cowboys need.
Active to get drafted to the Dallas Cowboys, like, that's what we need. That's the energy we need in the building to get to where we want to go. We want somebody to love the game of football, take the wheel out of the opponent. And I kind of knew him before he even went to Alabama. And, well, he actually slid up on one of my videos. He seen some of my highlights. He like, your highlights fire, bro. And then just from there, it was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to see you soon. Being from Texas and knowing, like, what it is to, like, be a fan of the Cowboys. The Cowboys lose on Sundays. Like, people will probably have, like, a bad week of work. It's a religion down here. You got to win. If you with the Cowboys, you got to have that energy to want to run through everybody that thanks the Cowboys up.
So that's on Tyler. When it comes to Donovan, Ezeraku, team captains in college, NFL executives said, they got the best guard in the draft, and they get a pass rusher opposite of Micah who can actually win with speed. Their pass rush is going to be, quote, a pain in the ass to deal with. They got the corner in the third that may have gone back end of the first round if he never got hurt. So the Cowboys' pass rush is going to be a pain in the rear end to deal with, according to this exec that The Athletic polled.
Yeah, I mean, what you've got here in your first three picks is Booker is a pro-ready immediate starter on the offensive line and has Pro Bowl potential. Ezeraku is a guy who absolutely can be a double-digit sack guy in the NFL. Like, some guys just don't have that potential. Ezeraku, that's what he does. He rushes the passer. That's what how he wrecks shop. And he talked about it a little bit when we played at 840. He will line up at, you know, over the guard. He'll line up over the center. He'll be outside. He'll play both ends. Ezeraku is a really advanced pass rusher. And then, obviously, Revell is a guy who has the ceiling. He's got to hit it, but he's got the ceiling to be an all-pro type of corner.
Ezeraku was talking during Cowboys rookie camp, and he was explaining how Bill O'Brien and his defensive coordinator got him NFL ready.
You know, I would go into the office, and they, you know, we would just talk. And, you know, that talk would lead to, you know, now I'm asking questions about, okay, what is it really like? You know, and Coach O'Brien, he helped me, you know, get my body right, you know, for the entire season. I appreciate him for that. Coach Lewis, he put me in, you know, great positions on the defense. You know, he put me at edge. He put me, you know, floating around over the three, over the guard. He, you know, he had me standing up, you know, kind of, you know, roaming around linebacker area. So I did everything, and I appreciate them for that.
Why did the Giants get so much praise in this? Here's what they had to say. They correctly determined they did not need to address their quarterback future at number three. Getting an elite talent in Carter in that slot and still getting the draft's next quarterback later, Jackson Dart, was seen as a victory for the process. Quote, they had conviction and confidence. Then they had the execution as well. So you have to give them credit. They had a good draft. Whether it all comes together, who knows? Execs were split on whether the runaway for the team's current leadership is any longer with Dart as the long-term prospect. Some people think Dart is a year away, more of a project. They probably shouldn't play him at all this year or not until very late. Carter, their nickel pass rush package will be crazy. They don't want to blitz that much, and now they don't have to. They are loaded. Carter is more like Micah Parsons than people realize. I think he can play off the ball. He transcends any specific scheme. Woo!
That's glowing strong.
Glowing review.
That's strong. I don't see Micah. I see Micah-like traits, but I mean, to be fair, when Micah was coming out, people didn't see Micah either.
Nick Harris, a linebacker, thought better run defender in Carter.
Yeah, he 100%. Carter's a better run defender. In terms of, like, making your money at that position, though, and, like, wrecking shop and, like, being destructive, it's rushing the passer, and he's not a Micah pass rusher. He's like a great value brand, or like the off-brand version of the pass
Shots
rusher that
fired
Mike is.
Walmart.
It's, you know what I'm saying, the off-brand version of whatever it is. Not that he's not General Mills
Kirkland.
Micah Parsons. He's the off-brand. Yeah.
Anything else that jumped out from this, Bobby, in terms of the exec poll on draft results?
No, I mean, I think that just in general, the observation that they didn't need the two is what surprised me, because that makes me wonder just about in general. If that's a common belief across the NFL, if that's common to what that guy has there, then to me it maybe explains why some of the receivers we've seen in recent years have gone for less. Like when you're trading away a number two receiver, you're trying to clear something up, it may speak to why teams have not had to or have not been able to collect like massive capital, except if you're trading Jonathan Mingo.
How difficult is it to replace a receiver?
Yeah, which
the replacement cost,
which they've determined it's not very difficult.
Right. So, I mean, think about it. Just, I don't know if it feels like there's fewer busts at receiver now than there was maybe 20 years ago in the first couple rounds, maybe fewer
busts.
Didn't
you do a study that said there were a ton of busts?
Don't
draft one in the first two rounds or something?
Well, I think it was that the receivers taking the first two rounds haven't won titles.
The last 10 years, receivers have started hitting at a higher rate. There was a run there of about, I think from the time Dez was picked until Amari Cooper, which was like 4 or 5 years, there was not a single Pro Bowler in that group of receivers that win the first round.
All right, let's talk about the Giants and Carter, because the Abdul Carter number saga has hit another note. He first asked Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence is like, no.
No, Gronk, he hit 56.
Gronk went out and was like, dude, prove yourself, do something before asking for 56. LT shut it down. Well, then he said, all right, I wore 11 in college, Micah. Can I wear 11 with the Giants? Well, our ice cream sundae buddy, Phil Sims.
Still never seen anybody hammer ice cream like this. This was in, was this in Atlanta? This is the Atlanta Super Bowl. We're in the bar, the lobby bar. And Cower and Sims are there.
Well.
And Sims says, I'll have 5 scoops of vanilla ice cream and strawberries.
We're all sitting. Jalen Rose is there. I mean, we're drinking. We're partying.
And fierce Phil Sims with his, I mean, his giant
like a kid
head.
At TGI Fridays.
I don't know how he has any shirts that have the elastic still. That head is massive.
So.
And 5 scoops.
Sims starts off giving the permission and then changes his mind. Here's Sims on FanDuel.
Hey, look, I told some of my friends and people around me, I said, I'd let him have it in a second. I said, can you just help it a little and make it better or whatever? I think it would be a lot of fun. It wouldn't bother me. But
would you really? Really, though? I mean, that's a pretty big honor, the 11. You're not going to give it up, right?
Yeah. It's just whatever. I don't know. I just go, if they really want it, but my wife, I don't know if my family said anything. The boys didn't say anything. But my agent, all of them, don't you dare give up that jersey number. Well, first of all, Abdul Carter's going to ask for it. But if he would have, if it was up to me, I probably would give it to him.
Well, now he's rescinded it, apparently.
Yep.
Here's my number one thing. Old school, I need your help a little bit here. Phil Sims good enough to be having this jersey talk? Phil Sims good enough to have his Giants jersey retired?
Yeah, this is the guy that, like, they didn't even need him to beat the Bills. Jeff Hostetler was like, I can do it.
I think he was a Super Bowl MVP. He was like 23 of 25 in that game.
He was super accurate against the Broncos. Yeah, everybody was.
He was not an elite quarterback, but
he beat Elway.
He is, I guess he is a legend in that for that team, but
okay.
He says that he was outvoted by his family.
Man, what a soft move. What a soft
Outvoted by the family.
The wife and agent.
And kids, maybe, yeah, wife, agent, kids.
He didn't want to throw Chris under the bus because Chris got that platform every day.
That's right, that's right. So family vote. Now, listen, I don't know if you believe this or not. Do we buy the family vote? If it's true.
Yeah, I buy it.
He sounded like he was willing.
Yeah, he sounded like he was cool with it. Do you think that it's... Do we judge these kids for coming in and asking for something like this? Or you don't care?
I judge him for asking Lawrence Taylor. That is... No, dude.
Okay, well, what about around here? Like, we just hand out D-wares. We hand out Pearson and Irvins. We don't get
mad
at that
player,
do we?
They hand out
ADAs.
So, it kind of depends. So,
what did Jalen try to do? Was it the practice jersey?
He wanted the nine, but it took, like, he was going to have to pay to get the number freed up. 94 and 88, I guess it just kind of depends on how the team views it. So, the Cowboys view 94 and 88 as legacy numbers. Like, the next up wears it. Whereas 8, 12, Bob Lilly's number, like typically they don't give out a handful of numbers. Like nobody ever touches 8. You may get 74 in like a training camp, but when the regular season starts, generally nobody's getting 74. Staubach's 12, nobody gets it. Emmett's 22, like they don't hand out those numbers.
Yeah, and there are some organizations like that literally just retire them across all sports.
I guess we'd be offended if like, LeBron gets drafted tomorrow to Chicago and he asks, or Cooper Flagg, and he asks for 23.
Yeah.
I would be offended.
Right. And you know, even if it's not like a guy on the level of Michael Jordan, but an organization.
Local hero.
Yeah, but an organization that retires a lot of numbers. You know, like once it's retired, it's retired. Now, as long maybe that once that person dies, maybe then you give it, start giving it away again.
Yeah, like OJ in Buffalo.
Oh, there you go.
That'd be amazing if the Bills handed out.
Start handing out 32.
32.
Hey, Buffalo. they put John Gruden back in the Ring of Honor in Tampa. I mean, they can make some changes with OJ.
Red Zone debut every day. You're getting football at 9:20 on the official home of the Dallas Cowboys. We got even more changes tomorrow involving Peyton Phillip Russell if he doesn't get picked for jury duty. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece is next.
Rantanen goes low. Duchesne across. Score! Wyatt Johnston! Mr. Game 7!
Let's cross talk with a KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors, Kevin Hagland. Are you always going to remember where you were for that Saturday night performance?
Yes.
Or is it just easy to say because it's Monday?
I mean, I don't know about always. Like, if they win the cup, then I feel like, yes. If they lose to the Jets, then I'd be like,
they're not going to lose to the Jets. They're going to win 4.
I heard your bold proclamation about that this morning.
Yeah, I got a good hashtag I'm going to debut this afternoon. I don't want to say it on the radio, but I'm going to debut it.
Okay, but you won't what tell is us it? Now?
I'll have Fred say it tonight.
I'll have Fred say it. It seems like it's an after 7 p.m. type of a comment to make.
Man, you know what I didn't realize until I started working with Fred on Friday? How many people think y'all are the same? And so, like, the same in terms of basic, generic white person look. Oh, same
I'm Italian,
in terms,
so
same, white. Yeah, I know. Same in terms of like hot take, East Coasty kind of stuff.
He's from Kansas City, so
well,
East Coast.
Yeah, but it's a mindset.
That's a mindset. There are some Italians there. Yeah. It's supposed to be good Italian
food. So you
guys
have divided Fred into Bobby and RJ.
Oh, I could see pieces of Bobby and pieces of RJ in that.
Okay. Weird.
Sure.
It's like if we had a child, Chop.
Or put him
you
in
and
here
I had
replace
a child.
Both of you.
Yeah. You and I had a child together.
I would love to see how that went for you.
That would last all about 2 weeks, I think.
What's coming up on the show, Corey?
Guys, today we actually loaded it up with guests for everybody today. We do have Brian Ray joining us. He'll be on at 12:20. We'll talk some Stars with him at 12:20. At 12:40, Bob Nightingale. Talk a little bit about the Rangers' decisions yesterday because, man, that was chaos all day there. And then at 11:20 today, actor Shea Whigham will be with us. If you don't know Shea Whigham,
Ralph's
go look
brother.
Him up. You know Shea Whigham.
He was Dusty Daniels in The Righteous Gemstones.
Yes, this just dude, he is, he
I
has
spell
a,
Shea.
He has a look.
S-H-E-A.
Yeah, he has a look that is like, he can easily play an old school detective, an old school, you know, cop of some sort. But he, I think he's a really talented actor
guy.
When you watch like the way he adds elements to it. So I'm really excited about this.
This is the guy that looks like Trevor Wallace's dad.
He's in a few of the Fast the Furious movies.
Yep, that's right.
He looks like Michael Douglas here.
He does have a Michael Douglas look
Hopefully
to him.
He's careful.
Stop.
Is
that the Zero Res commercial?
That was a Zero Res commercial, yeah.
Old school reference.
That's an old school reference.
Yes.
We left a Michael Douglas cancer topic with how he got it.
Holy moly.
Right
man.
Into a Zero Res commercial.
Jeez Louise. No wonder you were associated with them for so long. They're like,
oh,
we got to keep it. That's an amazing commercial. Yeah, he was the Grand Marshal at Texas Motor Speedway yesterday.
Oh, okay. Nice. How do the Stars match up? Give me a little scout report on Winnipeg.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's really funny. Game 7, I played out pretty much exactly how I would have hoped in terms of it went to double overtime and late in double overtime.
Yeah.
My bold take for this, and I know people are going to get angry. He's probably going to win MVP. I think you absolutely have a goaltending advantage in this series.
Yeah, you do.
Because it's not Hellebuck, it's playoff Hellebuck.
It's loser buck.
Yeah, and playoff Hellebuck is totally different. And I think you have a defined goaltending advantage in this, and I'm excited about it.
He's a loser.
Wow.
He's a loser, and that's exactly what Hellebuck is.
Set up your clip.
This is him. This is him being, and this is the smartest guy in the room. This is one of the most hateable clips.
And I had no idea you hated him.
Can't stand
so
this
much.
Guy. Can't stand him or Winnipeg, loser peg, as I call him. But
that's
here's
so
Hellebuck.
Original.
This is after game 4. I believe he got pulled in this game.
Just
pick a game in the series that they lost. He got pulled in all of them. And here he is talking about.
And I want you to imagine this face saying it while you hear
this
the audience.
Face. Look at that face. He looks
like a villain.
He looks like an unlikable Scotty Scheffler. And there he is. There he is, Connor Hellebuck, talking about how great he is.
Well, you don't love giving up that many goals.
But no, you don't.
We're 2-2 in the series. You know, that's all that matters, like winning the next one. Am I going to be better? I am going to be better. I've studied goaltending extremely hard. I've probably studied the most out of anyone in this world. So I know what to do and how to get my best game. So that's what I'm looking forward to do. And, you know, I got to get 2 days here and, you know, time to bring it on game five.
It's the laugh after.
I'm probably the most studied goalie ever. I've studied more hockey than anybody in the world.
How did I not hear Connor Hellebuck saying he studied more goaltending than anybody ever? That is effing
It's a LeBron
amazing.
Quote. It's a Trump quote. Yeah. Trump would say something like that, right? Yeah. No one's ever studied more than me.
Yeah, I would think you would gravitate towards that.
That's then. But this is the. It's like you're. And then he goes out there. He's so studied. He's so studied that he goes out there and he just all over the place. Yeah. You know what? He
got pulled three
times.
He
Delco poopers all over the place. Yeah. All right. That's what he does. And that's what he's going to do in this series, Stars and Four.
So this guy is, you need to think of the signs to hold up maybe in the arena or have the girl behind DeBoer hold him up.
Oh, Natalie.
Oh, we have first name basis.
I'm on a group chat with people. They know her apparently. And it's Natalie. When Natalie's there, good things happen.
Okay. Would you prefer that girl behind the bench and that guy who does a bit and dresses up in the suit and everything like that?
Nick.
The Bednar guy.
Yeah. Nick's good.
I bet he could do it for other people.
Nick and Nat.
Nick and Nat.
Yeah. Kevin.
Both of them.
Nick at Nat. It's
what city? What city do you reside in, if you don't mind saying?
Garland.
Okay.
The land of Gar.
Did we do something bad?
You did do something bad.
All of that. Just alligator gars everywhere.
So there's... I can see that. You know that little park there, like right in the middle? It's like a little play area for kids, right in the middle of the town.
Downtown?
Yeah, downtown. Yeah. We went there, you know.
Oh, you didn't like it with the fountains and everything?
No, I loved...
Next to Intrinsic? Yeah, okay, I got you, yeah.
I love the way it was set up.
Yeah.
Then a 7-foot snake appeared.
What?
What? That was brought... by a guy to the park.
He was just walking his snake.
Some person? Yeah, walking the snake. Yeah.
Have a little leash on it.
He's walking around with this reptile.
Oh my goodness.
Sets it down. All the kids like go and gather around. I mean, want to know what's being said on the right side of the room here. And they're all the kids are gathering around this reptile.
Yeah.
I scoop my kids up. I book it. I'm out of
there.
You
don't want to get eaten by a snake?
See you later. Peace out. Gone. And I'm like, this has to be illegal. Like, this can't be common practice. And all the Tolos responded to me basically saying, yo, man, in Garland, the rules are different. These are Garland.
Just about snakes or in general?
Just that type of activity, okay. That type of move to bring a 7-foot snake to a kid's park and just lay that bad boy down. And parents didn't freak like I did.
And this was just like a regular run-of-the-mill day?
Regular
day. It wasn't like
day.
A party or something?
Right. Nope. Just kids were running around playing. Oh. This guy moseys up with his damn animal and plops it down. A lot of the other kids gather around. I didn't see other parents freaking out. And I got out of
there. So it was on the ground. It wasn't on his shoulders.
No, it was on the ground.
Was it wood chips? Or was it like
I didn't
a
get close enough to see.
Yeah. Turf.
I did not get... It was a turf.
Yeah, there's a lot of turf out there.
A lot
there.
Of turf.
Yeah, it's a great setup. Yeah.
It is.
But so what would you do in that situation?
I've never seen that in my life. I would just casually walk by and ask him if he's allowed to be this close to kids.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Then see if that scared him off.
Okay.
And if not, then I would probably also go elsewhere because Noah would be all about going
Yeah, they all wanted
there.
To go yeah. up, but yeah. do you really want to go up to someone who walks into a kid's park with a 7-foot snake
and...
No question I don't. Or have a say that insulting thing that you would have said. You really want to do that?
I didn't say an insulting thing.
I asked an insulting question.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Is there?
Are you allowed around small children? You think that it doesn't qualify as an insulting question?
No, it is an insulting question. I said it's a question, not a statement.
Oh God,
I didn't say.
I mean, freaking grammar. An 8-foot snake that'll take out a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, easy.
What's the name of that goaltender?
Hellebuck.
Yeah, you're the Hellebuck of this crosstalk right here.
Hellebuck.
You grammar police me right there.
I could have been much worse.
No one studies.
Toned it down.
No one studies the English or grammar.
I don't think you could be that fancy and be from Garland. All right? As you just established.
Wow.
I am from Garland.
I'm surprised he went to Garland.
Fancy.
There's a pizza place there that's blown up.
They're okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So coming out of Sunnyvale, they're like, oh, you got to cross the wrong side of the tracks to go over to Garland.
Look up that the town stereotypes that you had gotten that kind of nailed all the areas around here. I want to know what Garland's was.
Yeah.
What would you say Garland's is, Kevin?
Oh, let me find
out. I mean, look, King of the Hill is based off of Richardson and that Richardson-Garland divide, so that's probably what
this
I would
isn't the city
to.
Called Arland?
Yes.
Arland. Yeah, so yeah, that was the idea. And he's from Garland.
Which one is it? It's the zombie movie with Jesse Eisenberg.
Zombieland.
Zombieland starts out taking shots at Garland.
And he's like, you might think I'm in a desolate wasteland, but this is actually Garland. That's a real thing.
He's like, Garland's
really sick. So,
no, I love going to that little play area.
It's really nice.
You know what I mean?
I was kind of concerned about the intelligence level of Noah when what he wanted to just do was stick his face in the fountains every time when it threw up the water. And I was like, oh, okay.
Bob? I'm still looking for it because that was for Dallas neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So this is for Garland.
Bassick's still chiming in. Garland's the home of Mookie Blaylock.
Oh my gosh!
That's true. It to do it.
Okay.
And Leanne Rimes.
All right, we're back tomorrow with maybe a little more Peyton Russell if he escapes jury duty. It's the
Oh man,
I think he wants to get picked.
I do too.
You do? RJ's dying to get picked.
I can't wait. I haven't gotten a summons ever.
It's the KNC Masterpiece next on 105 Through the Fan.